the parable of the sower. This should be the sixth week, sixth session. Okay, sixth week, parable of the sower. Let's hold our hands as I say, our Father, in the name of Jesus. We receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Today, our eyes behold Christ from the written word. He alone will see. We receive edification, and clarity from the written word. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 28, the parable of the sower, week six. Okay, parable of the sower. Quickly, Matthew 28. Let's go. Matthew 28. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority," that's the word power, it's to say in the Greek, "has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go therefore make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now Jesus says to them, "Go make disciples." You know that word is the word we've been looking at for a long time. Go make disciples. Give him the Bible. Don't share by that. Give him the Bible. Hallelujah. See, there's that one rapture takes place. Okay, so it says, make disciples. We're looking at that word, make disciples. We said that word is from the word, that is the word matitio in the Greek. Matitio in the Greek. It has a noun, matitis. Right? Matitis. It's a word that is used for an apprentice. An apprentice. That's the word for an apprentice. For one who learns a specific trade. One who learns a specific trade. Are you following me? An apprentice? One who learns a specific trade. And I want to ask us a question. How would you see an apprentice? As somebody, I'm an apprentice, I say, what are you doing? What kind of apprentice are you? You know, you ask that question, what kind of apprentice are you? And I say, I am multi-dimensional apprentice. What's your value? I'm doing apprenticeship as a mechanic and also in pharmacy and in carpentry. Would you give him any of your thing to you? You know he's confused, right? With an apprentice, you must have what you're an apprentice for. Right? I'm a mechanic. Hallelujah. Are you following me? I'm a mechanic. Sure. I have one of my mechanics getting filled. I say, I'm not a mechanical engineer. I just design this chip. What somebody went to study 5 years? Jacking book. One guy just learned how to enter on that car. For freedom, I'm a mechanical engineer. So he was paying school fees. And yet, he was taught how to be doing air conditioner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did I call any name? Just said it. Glory to God. Amen. So, an apprentice, you must have a discipline. Imagine someone said, what did you study? That is what a student. That is what matitis means, a student. An apprentice is a student. What did you study? I was going to 4 universities at the time. I am a doctor, I'm an accountant, and I'm a lawyer. Will you give that person your child to treat? Why? See, he's confused, right? What? Yeah. Is that what too? He says, so that is what matitis. Disciple, he learns a specific discipline. Hallelujah. So Jesus asked that we should raise disciple. Hallelujah. So yesterday I told us that Christianity is not a religion. Okay, Christianity, our gathering, we don't have vast knowledge. Some people say in my church we are trained to become business school in church. you do business class, you have,
many of you
have heard that, business seminars in church. And at the end, you say, to God be the glory.
How?
And when you want to then teach you how to do business, they don't have to teach you how to sow seed. Like, oh, how to sow seed? The parable of the talent that used to teach you business. They use the parable of talent to teach you business. That's it. If you want to increase, that if you had those that have five talents, what did they do? They went to invest their five talents, right?
Hallelujah. Some people have invested and their money has gone.
Yeah.
You think I'm looking at Santos? The money's gone.
Amen. We are just adding faith. We know hope maketh not ashamed. And don't worry, it will happen. God will touch the heart.
Hallelujah. Are you following me? Yeah. So you can't teach that in church. Church is not a place you come to learn. No, church is where you learn specific what? Discipline. And what is that discipline? Christ. So I can go to church and know what I'm going to be taught. When the pastor was talking today, he was just choking me up. He was talking what was in line with what is going on in my business. What is going on in my... He was just telling me the reason why my business is not flourishing is because I have not been giving my tithe. That's why things are tight for me. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we learn Christ and Christ alone. Glory to God. So Jesus said we should go and raise disciples. Make apprentices. Hallelujah. So is the word, that word, make disciple, is the word used for how you put one into a school to be taught. Hallelujah. How you put one into a school to be taught in order to gain mastery. Hallelujah. In order to gain mastery in that field. In order to gain mastery in that field. You cannot carry somebody who has learned mechanical engineer to come and be a, to come and to be an expert in accounting without going through accounting school. Are you hearing me?
Hallelujah.
The same way somebody who studied accounting for years will not come and say he's a professional mechanic. How? You have to go through that school. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the same way Jesus said we should make disciples. Disciples of who? Disciples of the resurrection. The event that just happened, the resurrection. Disciples of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see where that word Matthew is used in Matthew. Matthew used it in Matthew 13:52. Quickly rush to Matthew 13:52. Matthew 13:52, if you dare read. It says, and he said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure. Who brings out his treasure? His treasure things, new and old. Did you see that? Every scribe, that is the word instructed. Instructed. A scribe is a teacher. One who is a teacher. A teacher of the law, he says, instructed, is instructed. Mark that. Matthew 27, verse 57. Quickly, Matthew 27, 57. Look at this. And when the evening has come, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself also became a disciple of Christ. That's the word, became a disciple. To become a disciple. So we have the rich. Who have we seen that is instructed? A scribe, right? We have seen also a rich man. Did you see that? A rich man became a disciple. So irrespective of your societal affiliation. Are you hearing this? Irrespective of where you are in the society. Once a man is born again, he is a disciple. Hallelujah. You become a disciple of the world. Look at Acts of Apostles. It says what? Many were taught. Acts 14. Acts 14, that's where the word is used again. Acts 14, verse 21. It says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They made what? Many disciples. Hallelujah. So when a man is saved,
He's a disciple. Discipleship is not so. I know that there are some denominations that have discipleship class. When you, after like 12 weeks, you don't graduate. No. I hear me. I know of that. But you know, discipleship, there's no graduation. Are you following me? There's no graduation in discipleship. We are all made disciples. Disciples of the resurrection. Are you following me?
Yes.
Everyone is a disciple. Everyone is a student of the word. Hallelujah. So stop waiting for, I want to graduate from where? From discipleship school. You are wearing a robe. You are giving a certificate. No. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So it shows that discipleship is for every believer, irrespective of your societal value. Hallelujah. Or status. You are a student of the world. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And Jesus did not just leave us like that. He tells us how discipleship will be done. Verse 20. He says, teaching them. What? Teaching them. Teaching them.
Tell us how to carry out teaching them.
Which we say is the word didasco, right? Right? Which you say is the word didasco. And the word didasco carries with it the weight of the word didache, how it is communicated, the mode of communication. Hallelujah. The mode of communication, the systematic way of explaining it. So looking at this, we said this is what should be taught in discipleship. How scriptures are explained. So it's, remember I told you, it is an unserious Christian that opens his Bible and read a verse. We are not taught to read verses because Bible was not written in verses and chapters. I want to say it again. When Paul was writing, he was not writing 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or Genesis. When Genesis was written, they were not written in chapters. Are you hearing me? Bible was written as a letter. You want to write why you are writing? Write a letter to your dad, telling him how you spent your last holiday. And you write him. You now wrote address and say chapter 1, introduction. Sweet daddy, from your beloved son. How is you? Verse 2, how you did? Verse 3, hope you have eaten up good this morning. Verse 4. Daddy, in the next few chapters, I will be telling you how I spent my holiday. Chapter 2, verse 1. Won't you be? Hallelujah. So Bible was written as a letter. So it's wrong for you to carry your Bible and just jump and start reading verses. No. Also, it's wrong for you to do this. I've showed us this before. It's wrong for you to do this. Oh Lord, show me. Yeah. It's wrong. You know me. And truth be told, you didn't even know what you saw. You just open and say, and you want my eyes open, see first. You want my eyes, see first. And you open your eyes. Let's say the Bible is far from you. You saw everything. Read everything. Let me leave you for the one that is short. Ah! Jesus went. Jesus has wept. He has wept every weeping and weep. Will you see me? Or see you? Hallelujah. Don't do that. It's unserious believers that do that. Some people, when they are done, they don't look at it. They want to really read Psalms. So they know where Psalms is. And when they are done, now put it on their chest. Protection. The very fact of your salvation is what you are denying. So the very fact of your salvation is not the Bible will be with you. The very fact of your salvation is that Christ lives in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So most times, what is wrong with them is what they've watched too much. Too much Nollywood. So somebody is praying and I say, let's pray. And you carry your Bible. And then I say, oh Lord, oh Lord. What are you doing? I'm using it to block weapons. It's too much money. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's too much money. So don't be found in such atmosphere. Hallelujah. So you must learn to read the Bible. Right? Right? And we said
in discipleship, we said scriptures are interpreted how? Systematically. Was that not what we were saying? Systematically from Genesis to Malachi. We said that, right? That's how you read your Bible. Systematically. Systematically from Genesis. Hallelujah. That's right. Old Testament is body. Read it. Hallelujah. Read it. Read it systematically from Genesis to Malachi. Look at Jesus. That's how Jesus read. Luke 24 for verse 25. He told them, all fools, 24-25, I'm slow about to believe. You know the prophet has spoken. Say, open up the Christ, verse 26, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. 27, what did he do? Jesus beginning at Moses. What is Moses? Where is Moses? Genesis. So Jesus started teaching them from Genesis and all the prophets. All the prophets will mean Genesis down to Malachi. He expounded. That word expounded means he explained to them how? In all the scriptures. Can we say everything from Genesis? In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Did you see that? Can you see that? What did Jesus do? Jesus explained from Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. He's not that doing verse by verse. No, I mean, he's not that speaking verse. No, he explained to them. Look at verse 34. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. So Jesus' mode of teaching scripture is to start from where? Genesis. Are you following me? Where did Jesus start teaching from? Genesis. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So my reading of Old Testament scripture or my reading of the Bible, I should start from the beginning. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So we said also, we should understand that scriptures conclude on Christ. Concludes on Christ. So the conclusion of scripture is on Christ. So that means if I get to read my Bible, I should not be seeing enemies are going to kill me. Scripture concludes with on Christ. Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? John 5:39. You see, the way we pain. I was telling some of our pastors yesterday. See, we painstakingly have to take and teach the scriptures. Hallelujah. Eh? That's what is important. Take your time. Hallelujah. You see, you don't have to be teaching. That is the best too. You know the best? It's the best too. Hallelujah. Will you save you? Save your life. John 5:39. Jesus said, you search the scriptures. He's talking to the Pharisees. Look at the Bible. John 5:39, everybody. John 5:39. He's talking to the Pharisees. He tells them, you search the scriptures. How? He said, in them, in the scriptures, he's telling the Pharisees, in them you think you have eternal life. But what did he say? These are they which what testifies of you. These are they that testifies of me. What? The scriptures. Hallelujah. He says the scripture testifies of me. 40. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. That is to say, where scripture concludes on is on Christ. That what testifies means to bear witness. Scriptures bear witness of Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Say, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. That means what Jesus is saying is that the way the Pharisees interpreted scripture was that they read scripture and their conclusion was not on Christ. Are you following me? Meaning they read scripture where they were reading and reading, but their conclusion was not on Christ. Their conclusion was on other things. Their conclusion was of thou shalt not, but Jesus said scripture concludes on me. You see that? But you're not willing to come to me. He now gives them the bomb. Look at verse 35. He says, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. He said, there's one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. What is this? He said, for if you believe Moses, what would you have done? You would have believed me. Are you following that? If you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. So when Moses was writing, what was Moses writing about?
Jesus, Moses was writing ahead concerning Christ.
Are you following me?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Moses was writing ahead concerning the redemption. Let's put it like that. Hallelujah. Because of what I will say in some months to come to us. Hallelujah. Concerning the redemption. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following that? So Moses was writing ahead of time. He said, "You wrote of me." So Jesus was saying, Moses' writing was concerning me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. He said, God who has, Hebrews 1, he said, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. How was God communicating in the old days? He spoke through the prophets. Are you following me? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
How was God speaking? Through the prophets. He said he spoke to the fathers. No, we can't see God. We can't say to the fathers. Hallelujah. Because of his audience at that point. Hallelujah. But he spoke to the patriarch. Right? Through the who?
Prophets.
Right? But as in this last day, spoken to us how? Where? In his son. Now, look at what he now says. He now says, who be as, who has made what? Hair. Are you following that? Who did he make hair? The son, right? Whom he has appointed hair of all things. Right? Now that word all things, look at this word. Whenever we say, whenever I use the word all is not everything with the exception of nothing, right? All is everything in context. So what is the context? The words of the prophets. So we can say, whom he has appointed heir of the words of the prophets. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So that means, what is the writer of Hebrews saying? He's saying the same thing that Jesus has said. He's saying, Jesus, the words of the prophets concludes on him. Are you following me? Look at Peter. Hope you are following me closely. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 8.
I just want to cut it short. You know, verse 6. But verse 8.
He said, who you have not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believe him. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the ends of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and search carefully who prophesied of the grace that will come to you. Right? The prophet, right? He said, searching what? And in what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, was indicating. Now, take note. The Spirit of Christ was not in them. That is wrong grammar. Hallelujah. The Spirit of Christ was not in them. They never had the Spirit of Christ in the Old Testament. Right? Right? Hallelujah. Where is the Spirit of Christ? The Bible shows us in Romans chapter 8, verse 12, verse 11. It says, if that same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead lives in you, that same Spirit will give life to the mortal body. So we receive that Spirit in the resurrection. Hallelujah. And that Spirit is indwelling. So when you say the Spirit which was in them is bad grammar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I told us that the Spirit was in their message, right? Right? But actually, the way that construction is in the Greek is actually searching what and what manner of time the Spirit. Right? Right? Now, is actually searching what time the Spirit which is in them, which is their Spirit, right? What was he searching? Was searching about the message of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 So the Spirit which was in them was actually searching. Hallelujah. Concerning the message of Christ. So what would you have? You would have them in their multitude of words. You will find the message of Christ in their words. Hallelujah. So what they spoke ahead of time was actually predictive. Are you following me? Predictive. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Aha. So the Spirit which is in them was not actually the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah.
Spirit which is in them wasn't, is not the spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. So what that the spirit was in them was indicating to them Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he testified beyond beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Hallelujah. Remember, in the Old Testament, we're told that the spirit of man is the kind, right? The spirit is the candle of the Lord. I mean, the spirit of man, I can't put that spirit away. It is searching the inward part of the dead. Hallelujah. So that was what they had there. They were searching vital truth about Christ. Hallelujah. So what they wrote about Christ was predictive in nature. Hallelujah. No, are you following me? So they wrote ahead his words. Glory to God. So that is what Peter is saying here. Hallelujah. And what did they write about? His sufferings and his glory that would reveal. Glory to God. Look at 2 Peter. Peter says this again. 2 Peter 1:16. Say, for we do not follow cunningly devised fables, but we make known to you the power and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitness of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, whom I well pleased. Verse 18. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him in the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. That's the word bibao in the Greek. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It came to pass. Fulfilled. What is the prophetic word? The words of the prophet from Moses. Hallelujah. He said, we saw it. So what Peter is saying that we've seen the words of the prophet fulfilled. How? He says, fulfilled. Would you do well to take heed? As the light that shines in the darkness until the day dawn and the morning star arises in your heart. Did you see that? In your heart. What is the morning star? Arises in your heart. Meaning it's telling you it concludes on where? The incarnation. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Look at the next verse. It doesn't say no, knowing first that no prophecy of scripture. I want you to see this now. No prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. Many people who read Bible, when they get to this point, they try to give it a very funny meaning. So he said no scripture is of private. Man, I cannot get to the scripture and begin to see Jesus the agricultural, Jesus the accountant. Yeah, so I remember something. Jesus was the first to use ATM. Okay. Glory to God. This is my new guy that was used to be. You want to make heaven. You want to lose that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're laughing. So Jesus the accountant. Jesus the banker. No. He said no scripture. He's a private interpretation. Hallelujah. Meaning I cannot get to the scripture and try to give it my own meaning. No, why? Because scripture has its conclusion. Hallelujah. So if you look at the words of the prophet from Genesis to Malachi, you will find the conclusion on Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Glory to God. So as we get going and studying the Old Testament book, you begin to see. Hallelujah. So we are laying what I call the foundation for the next 3 years, next 2-3 years. Then we begin to look at where we will have a study of the Old Testament book, all the 39 books in 1 year. We will have that and we will study 39 books in 1 or 2 or 3 years. Hallelujah. Thus, every Sunday we are looking at it, we are explaining it. Hallelujah. From Genesis to Malachi. But we have to lay the foundation. So in the coming year, all we are doing is foundation. Hallelujah. We are laying it. Amen. Amen. So you now see that they all conclude on Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said also that our role is to read it well, right? We looked at that. So our role is to do what? Read it well. We read well. Pay attention to details and avoid reading out of context. I've said that, right? Don't read out of context. Don't say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You know, these days, how many of you have noticed you don't use that scripture carelessly anymore? Right? You know, you can use it to quote anything and say, are you sure you can do
20 million naira loan target in the world. you don't have clientele base. You know the Bible says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I don't know why interview I went for one time. The guy was telling me where you are coming from. I want to listen. He was telling me, I can say it now because. So the guy asked me, where you are coming from? Your pricing is low. Well, that is to say the pricing on your loan is around 2.5%. And here, the pricing of our loan is at 4%. How do you think you can cope? And I smiled. This was years back. That was 2015. I smiled. When I heard that, this one doesn't know. I can do all things. Keep crying. Now, this is there's nothing that I cannot say. Don't ever. I'm warning you. Sorry, this guy here. I'm putting glasses on his head. This Arsenal guy. He said, sir, I tell you, sir, there's nothing I cannot say. Don't come and give me for force to say. Sir, there's nothing I cannot say. See, I said, even dead body, if you drop it down, sir, I will say. The man dropped down from his chair. He said, yes, I will buy this guy. Like I'm rich, I'll buy this guy no matter the cost. Just over the interview, and then they do. That's my interview. They just want to stop. Go home. If I go home, they send me. Okay, so you must employ me immediately. And so you have the right to go.
Amen. And when I really saw the dead body, I really stood. Glory to God. Before that interview, I've gone for an interview before. Before that one, why I said that will confirm because I went for an interview with a white man. Man was telling me, are you sure you can do SME? Because I was moving from micro, where I would give 30,000 or 40,000. I want to be doing millions. I hear people talk millions. I need to. Let me join the leagues. Hallelujah. So, please, you're not part of. So I started joining the league. So I went to an interview. The guy asked me, are you sure you can do it? I said, yeah. Say, okay, are you sure? Because then we have some commercial banks. He called me over commercial banks. Are you sure you can pay that? If the other microfinance banks that are operating in the micro sector cannot compete with me, how come commercial banks? Then they can. That's why I'm changing my elixir. And then you need to, in the business world, you need to have sweet mouths. Yes, man. So I'm changing my lead. You know, you are using lead. You are moving from MPFL to UEFA. I said, yes, I'm changing my lead, sir. Because I have to play with the big boys. And I said, okay, I'm playing with the big boys. Then, well, panel, this I said, so well, panel of four here. Mr. Smart, back out of money. So he said, sir. He said, can you sell a dead body for me now? Good things started coming out. Can you sell a dead body for me now? And I smile. And I sold a dead body. Right, when I was marketing a dead body for them, they started clapping. In my head, I said, yes, I can market a dead body. But the next interview, I can sell a dead body. You white man can clap for me, Nigerian. Who clap more? You see, I go clap. I was waiting for them to say, sell. But the guy just shouted and said, that was the end of the interview. Hallelujah. But truly, can I say this? Hallelujah. Yeah. So, you know, you can't. I don't see this going on. Let me not say it. Let me tell us another story. Glory to God. Amen. And I was doing an interview. That is not what I wanted to say at first. I was now doing an interview when I have now joined this people. And I saw somebody like me. I was posting an interview and I said, okay. They said, young guy, we're just selling. People are asking questions. We're just fumbling. My head, I'm like, I want to fold your hand. I started listening to the right message. I said, I'm going to fold your hand. In my head, I'm going to fold your hand. I made up my mind I would give him the job. But I want to fold his hand. To come with the form track I do. Hallelujah. Because so you will not know, like, sir, I can do everything. There's nothing I cannot do. I say, okay, you can do everything. Yeah. You were just talking all the time, I just carry stapler, I just pass it to him, send me the stapler. He couldn't even say, beep! I just said stapler now! Mouth, Abby! You know, when you have said too many big things,
even in my head, when I said stapler, I'm not even saying stapler.
And the guy couldn't. In my mind, I'm like, yeah, I catch you. But I still give him the job. Let me know that I still gave him the job. I still recommended him for the job. Not that, somebody will not say you are giving job. No, I recommended him for the job. Hallelujah. But I just wanted to make him know that. That's why if you were not taught, you don't need. Say that. Stop saying, stop using that word. I can do all things. I remember so the time. When some people were looking for business and you were calling Kalito, they want to tell you got a business. When what you are using?
Sure.
And one of our pastors wearing suit every day, looking for Gotha to kill you. Amen! Glory to God. I didn't call any name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you must, okay, so in studying scripture, you must read everything, right? Don't read out of context, right? You know, these days you've been careful. You know, do you usually say those kind of things again? Like, I can do all things. You're not careful. You're not watching your words very well. Hallelujah. In fact, I remember what I usually tell people, and I say to myself always, never quote a scripture. I know some of us were born to recite memory verse. I make children recite memory verse a lot. But you know, consciously what you would do is to erase those memory verses from your head and start reading those memory verses again in context. You understand? There's a way you will learn memory verse and memory verse and you'll be using it out of context. Hallelujah. But now read it again in context. So what I did was that I went back and started reading every verse I've learned before in context. That I don't go and misquote. Before the one day you just make mistake and say, heaven help you hear this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So we say we must look at, in reading well, we must not read out of context, we must not read parables literal, right? We must not read figures of speech literal or figure of speech should be used as figure of speech, right? Parables should be left as parables. Matthew 13:1. We began looking at the parables of Jesus. In Matthew 13:1, and we said Jesus made us see the reasons for parables, right? Matthew 13:1. Made us see the reasons for parables in verse 10. From verse, let's say 10 now. Okay. From verses 14 into 16, he made us see the reasons for parables. And he said the reason for parables first is because of, we said this, is because of unbelief, right? Right? Unbelief. And the parable, so because of unbelief, they will not write in parables. Right? They will not write in parables. And we say when Jesus says parable, parabole, is the one that means what is cast alongside. Right? So parables is, a parable is told alongside a major teaching or a teaching. The parable is not a teaching, but the parable is used to further clarify what the teaching is all about, right? It's used to further point to the teaching. Hallelujah. For example, if you read, that should be Luke 18:1. The Bible says, look at Luke 18:1. And he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Did you see that? He spoke a parable. So the parable, the essence of the Bible is that what men ought always to pray. Hallelujah. So when I get, I shouldn't be looking out for parable. No. Like someone said, the parable of the 10 virgins. They say, you know, the 10 virgins are actually, first of all, you say the 10 virgins is a believer, the virgins are the believers. Are you mad? Hallelujah. The 10 virgins.
So meaning we have five foolish believers and five that are not foolish. No. Hallelujah. You are missing the reason for that parable. Are you following me? Are you following me?
You are missing the reason for the parable. You don't read parables that way. Your explanation of parables should be to the extent of what is being taught.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you hear the parable of the talents,
don't start looking for talent. The talent, there's a talent, and when the one that has 10 talents, so he gave it to Santos.
No, to be missing the reason for a parable that is talking about wealth creation. No, Jesus never taught wealth creation. Hallelujah. Even if I know years back I thought on the topic how to create wealth. But Jesus never taught that. I don't know why I learned that from. Hallelujah.
Even me that taught it, I'm not wealthy. So I wonder where I learned that from. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You want to learn how to create wealth? You go and sit down in the classroom of $10 and Dangote.
Let them teach you how to create wealth. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Not inside the church. Amen. I'm not wealthy. I'm going to teach how to create wealth. I'm quoting scripture.
Is that not babash? Yeah. Hallelujah. So the church is not where you learn those kind of nonsense from.
Hallelujah. Want to learn how to make what? Go to a good wealth creating school. Go to meet, go and be a disciple of $10 or Dangote or who again? Bill Gates. Are you hearing me? Or better still, if you belong to a club where your own eyes is rich, you be a student of a name of it.
Or if you belong to a club where all you know is fighting, you'll be poor. Amen. I did not say the name of any club. Glory to God. They are rejoicing today because they won.
Okay. Glory to God. Let's come back. Are you following me? So Jesus wasn't teaching creating wealth. You have to look at what is he saying.
What is he teaching that was thrown alongside?
Do you get it? That is what parables are for. So run away when somebody begins to tell you the details of wealth from the parables of Jesus. Run away. I am me. Glory to God. Because if Jesus is to be the Christ, everything, see, he is the Christ. I like to say it this way. If Jesus is the Christ, then everything he taught will be concerning himself. If he teaches anything, concerning himself, that is, concerning his work in redemption, he's not the Christ. Are you following me? That is the focus. Are you following me? Are you following me? So Jesus' teaching will be centered on himself and his work in the redemption. Are you following that? Glory to God. So that means all Jesus' parable will be concerning what? Hallelujah. And what he has come to do and his accomplishment. Are you following me? All Jesus' parables can be studied all through scriptures. You will see from Genesis to Malachi. Are you hearing me? If God is in charge of creating worlds, why is that Israel is not the wealthiest nation in the world? Even from their days. You see, the reason I mean, do you understand? Let me tell you something. Anything an unbeliever can achieve, without being saved, it's not just what Jesus died for. Or put it like this, it's not what is received in the redemption. The richest man in the world is not a Christian. He's not. Are you hearing me? The wealth of the nations are in the church. Okay, go outside and look for wealth. Go and make money. Stop sitting down and be deceiving yourself.
Hallelujah. Are you following me? So let's move ahead. Let's move ahead. Glory to God. So Jesus will not employ parables. Now the reason for parables is because of unbelief. Unbelief is this: the gospel is ministered to you. I'm saying something to you clearly, and you cannot grasp it, and then go down to your level. So parable is like coming down to your level. Are you hearing me? And I'm not explaining so that you get it. If I want to tell somebody who is in the village, like my village, that's Oga, you can, imagine somebody
from Taraba State, and he said there is no reaction without an action. There's no reaction without an action. It looks like you. What is happening? So you're looking at him. Is it because we took you to go to? Is it because we allowed you to go to federal school, federal government college? Is that why you are coming to give us grammar? See that, sir?
Amen. The girl said, look at this guy, because he thinks he grew. Can you call a fellow? There's no action.
But you know how to come to that level, because they did not believe or they don't understand what you are saying. Now come to that level and say, ah, a dog does not know what you can do.
Is that like pushing something or something is pushing?
Which one is more difficult to say?
A toad, right?
But that is what they will get. That is unbelief. Unbelief makes long cuts. Are you following me? Unbelief is stressful. No, you know that? No, the reason for parables is unbelief. Amen. Amen. If you go to a place like London and you want to tell them, speak English for them, you'll be looking like you like, what is that saying? You have to come down to their level. How? Speak the dialect. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's continue. So, how will I read parables? I will look at what it points to, right? Right? Okay. Another thing we saw is that a parable does not stand alone, right? So I must explain it to what it points to. A parable does not stand alone. Parables are also called proverbs. And parables are usually all things being equal. Are you hearing me? Parables are usually all things being equal. That is to say, I can fault a parable. So when I begin to base my head on parables, I can fault it. Or on proverbs. Amen. A toad does not run in the daytime for something. You know I can fault that. How can I fault it? So we cannot see toad during the daytime. You know that it can be faulted. Hallelujah. Parables can be faulted. In fact, some parables were said based on the science of their day or of the day when it was said. So today, since science has changed, you can easily tell. For example, there is this parable that I usually know that something like this. It says, tomorrow is pregnant. We don't know what it will give birth. Have you ever heard that? That is to say, nobody knows tomorrow. But you know that can be faulted in the present, in our present day and time. Hallelujah. That can be faulted. Not totally. Right? Not totally. But looking at economic situations, you can predict tomorrow. Right? So, parables, when you begin to look at parables, like, I want to look at the parable, eyeball to eyeball, let's analyze it. You would always fail. Or the parable will always fail, rather. Parables can be faulted. Hallelujah. Are you following me? For example, you know, we say parables and proverbs are the same. Example, Proverbs chapter 1. Look at Proverbs 1. Look at what even Solomon said in Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. Are you there? Amen. Okay. If you're there, I'm going to read. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 3. You see, I'll start from verse 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. He said, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the word of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. He's writing about Proverbs. He says, verse 3, to receive instructions of wisdom, justice,
judgment and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Hallelujah. Look at what he calls Proverbs. He calls it what? Equity. Hallelujah. Equity. That is the word mesa in the Greek. Mesa in Greek, in Hebrew. Mesha. Equity. Or mesa. M-E-S-E-R. That is the word that means evenness. Evenness. All things being equal. All things being equal. You know what I mean by all things being equal? Eh? Probability. Right? Right? Meaning is. So that means parables are probabilities. For example, when Solomon wise and said, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know that is a parable. Eh? Eh? We're not looking at Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, but we'll look at the book of Proverbs shortly. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Remember, what are the Proverbs for? The book of Proverbs are actually is Genesis to Deuteronomy explained in parables. Are you following? Eh? The book of Proverbs, I want to say it again, because what is the role of a king? I showed us this in Deuteronomy chapter 17. The role of a king is to teach the Torah. So Moses writes that a king is a teacher of the Torah. He's a teacher of Genesis to Deuteronomy. Are you following me? So when a king enters his chamber, he must know the Torah by heart. First of all, then he will now teach the children of Israel. Are you following me? So now, when someone sits and reads out the Torah to the children of Israel, reads out Genesis to Deuteronomy, that's the Torah, right? Reads it out to the children of Israel. Now, what is cast alongside is what we have at the book of Proverbs. So, Proverbs are the Proverbs of Moses. Are you following me? They are the Proverbs of Genesis to Deuteronomy. Are you following that? Hmm? That is to say they were cast alongside. So when he was reading it, these were the Proverbs he was using to explain. Amen. So when he says, when Solomon says, train up a child in the way he should go, for example, when he says, you know that is not always true. Hallelujah. That is not always true. That some children that they trained in the morning, they will do morning devotion. Some of us were born like that. Morning devotion, afternoon devotion, night devotion. Before you sleep, you pray. The moment you left your father's house, you didn't pray again. You forgot prayer. But you're not trained in the way you should go. And now you are old. You've not just departed from it, you've thrown it away. They took you to Sunday school, Monday school, Tuesday school, Friday school, vigil, Saturday. So you are always in the church, but you're a church boy. You are an altar boy. Anything beyond the altar, you are a pulpit boy. You know everything that happens in the chambers of the holies of holies. And now you have grown up. You don't even know anything. In fact, you are now quarreling with the church. You no longer go to church. Can you not see? All things being equal, it's not always going to happen like that. It's probability. Are you following me? Eh? I had no children that went, they were trained up, went to a godly school, godly parents, and they went to school and became cultists. If you don't know, I know plenty. Hallelujah! I have one of my roommates that we have to ask him, are you calling with God? Your father is a pastor. We were in the room for about 8 months. This was before I moved out of the room, for about 8 months. He didn't go to church one day. His Bible was locked up in a coffin, an iron coffin. Are you following me? He said an iron coffin. He didn't open it for a whole full semester. And when he was cleaning his locker one day, he said, this Bible where my father gave me. My father bought this Bible from Israel when he went to Jerusalem on pilgrimage. I don't call it that. You did not open it one day in school. We've never seen him. And his father is a pastor in Lagos. Amen.
train up a child in the way he should. And when he is old, he has departed. Oh. He has kicked the bucket one way. He has run away. Hallelujah.
Are you following me? So it's always a probability. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we began looking at the parable of the sower, right? And we said, what the sower soweth is the seed, right? Right? Is the seed. And we looked at the seed from Genesis. Remember, we said every parable we can teach it all through scriptures, right? Right? What the parable points to can be taught all through scriptures, right? Okay. So we said the seed. And we started looking at the seed from Genesis. Hallelujah. First of all, in Genesis 3:15, it's called the seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent. Right? That will bruise the head of the serpent. Glory to God. Glory to God. We now saw that seed, first of all, the seed is found in Genesis 1. The seed, Genesis 1:14, that brings all of God's promises to pass. That is how God's promise in Genesis 1:1 would happen through the seed, right? Then we also saw the seed again as a promise in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Are you following me? They will not find it again as the seed of Abraham. Did you see that? Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. Abraham as the seed of Abraham. That will give the land to Abraham and his seed. So we saw that the seed was what the prophet of old bore as message, right? Now we found it in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 12, chapter 15, right? The seed. We find after Abraham, God spoke concerning the seed, the same seed. So he spoke to Abraham concerning the seed. And he now showed us who? Ishmael. Make sure you get this message when it's out. Those of you who were not from the beginning, the beginning of the message has traveled out. But wherever you have the message from, I guess from track 3 up until now. Hallelujah. Make sure you listen to it well. Especially last week on. Now, we explained the seed. Now, the seed, it now shows us Abraham. And Abraham have two sons, right? Ishmael and Isaac. But it is not Ishmael, but it's going to be Isaac, right? Now, is Isaac going to be the seed? No, Isaac will not be that figure for the seed. Are you following me? To show that, first of all, how Moses writes. Remember we said that Moses was not writing history. Moses was writing what? Was writing the message. Which message? The message to the children of Israel, right? What they had as oral tradition, what they had as oral tradition concerning their history, now Moses now uses it to teach them salvation, teach them the work of salvation. Do you understand me? Now, listen to this and listen to it well. So, what we would have as the background would be Egypt, the children of Israel in Egypt. So, Moses is teaching them, right? So, Moses will now write to them that there is the promise of God in Genesis 1 of the seed, right? Now, he now shows us Abraham. That Abraham had the promise. But what happened? Do not see the work of the flesh that will bring forth Ishmael. Right? But it will not be Ishmael that will be the seed. It will be what? Isaac. So for you now to think, it's Isaac is the seed. You are just like Eve that thought is going to be set. Hallelujah. But it's not going to be Isaac. Isaac will be that figure for the seed. So Isaac will not be a figure of speech to point to the seed. Hallelujah. But he writes for you to see that there is the promise, there is the work of the law, and the seed will come. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Eh? For you to not miss it. In Isaac, you now talk to Isaac concerning the seed again. Are you following me? To show you that it's not Isaac. Eh? Are you following me? You now talk to Isaac concerning the seed. Isaac now gave birth to two children. Esau and Jacob. It will not be Esau. It's not the first. It's not the Esau. Why? Because Esau was profane. Esau despised the things of the spirit. It will be who? It will be Jacob. Did you get that? For you to not think it's going to be Jacob again. He never spoke to Jacob about the seed. Are you following me? So you now find that what
the Isaac, the Jacob was used to give or was select, or let me not say selected now, because I would be rendering my theology Udo Baudu. Hallelujah. But you now find Isaac and Jacob used or believing, and through them to now give humanity to who? To the seed. Now, Jacob, if you are now thinking it's going to be two children in the seed, Jacob now gave birth to 12. Are you following you? Now give birth to 12. Glory to God. So you don't start thinking, oh, it's going to be two. No. Jacob now gave birth to 12. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And those 12 now entered into wilderness. Amen. Are you following me? Glory to God. And when those 12 were going to the wilderness, remember when he spoke to Abraham, about the sea? I mean, first of all, about the land, and then spoke about the sea. So when he gave the children of Israel, he now started talking to them about the land. There's not a land. Hallelujah. Are you following that? To make you know that the seed is not any of them, the seed is the Lord Himself. Hallelujah. So Galatians now helps us see Galatians 3:16 that the seed is Christ. Hallelujah. So when God spoke about the seed, that all the plan of God will be carried out through the seed, it speaks about Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So let's begin to go into what we have for today fully. Amen. Amen. We just finished introduction. I just entered. Hallelujah. So, when Moses was writing, I wanted to look at something. I couldn't do this to us last week. I couldn't do this to us last week, but I said it in a summary. I wanted to see. When Moses was writing Genesis, was he writing Genesis as history or as a message? What do you think that as history or as a message? Message. So what he was writing, was it first spoken before it was written, or written before spoken? It was spoken first before it was written. So that means in the mouth of Moses, in Moses' preaching, you will find seed. Right? He will have spoken, he will speak to them concerning the seed. Would that be the same message he will speak to Pharaoh? Yes. Are you following me? I follow him who sent the same message to Pharaoh. So, that means what they had as the message is what? The seed. So the seed is the message. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when we now look at Mark 4:14 quickly. Mark 4:14 into 15. Look at verse 14 to 15. He says, and the sower sows the word. Did you see that? He sows what? The word. So the seed is the word. Are you following me? So what they had as the message is the word. The seed, which is the word. Is it the same? Is it the same? Jesus' conclusion and that of the prophet, are they the same? Are they the same? Are they the same? Okay. John now writes it and then tells us in John 1:14, and the word became flesh. So, are you following me? So, listen. So, is Paul's conclusion the same with that of Christ's conclusion? The seed is the word, the seed is Christ. Is it the same? Right? Is it the same with that of John? Is it the same with that of Moses? Eh? Guys, that scripture agrees. Are you following me? Scriptures agrees. Amen. There is no contradiction in scripture. When you find contradiction, is your brain, is your understanding that you find contradiction. The scripture does not contradict. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So let's move on. Let's move ahead a bit. So what they preach, what the sower sows is the word. Is that the message of Christ's redemption? That is the message of Christ's redemption. In Matthew 13:15, let's quickly look at Matthew 13:15 now.
Matthew 13, verse 15. Sorry, verse 18. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Now, when Jesus now he shows us that the parable of the sower, in that parable, listen, he shows us four soils, four grounds, right? Four. One by the wayside, one by on the stones, one on thorns, the other one on the good soil. This shows the four recipients to the word. Are you following me? There are four kinds of recipients we will have to the word of God. Hallelujah. Now look at that, Matthew chapter 13. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then that is one that fell by the wayside. Say, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. Let's see how Mark puts it in Mark 4. The same way. So you have your hand on in Mark 4 and Matthew. Now, so as we read along, Mark 4, 14, I mean verse 15. Say, these are the ones by the wayside. Say, when the word is sown, when they hear, it says, Satan comes immediately and takes the word, takes away the word that was sown in their heart. He said, the one that falls by the way, that falls by the wayside. That is, the one that falls by the wayside was never seen. Hallelujah. Say, Satan snatches the word immediately. See, I want to get to know something. Unbelief. I was sharing with our pastors yesterday, with some of our pastors yesterday, and I said, there is no sitting in the fence. Are you hearing? You see, if ever what a man does is initiated by the Holy Ghost, or is inspired by the Holy Ghost, or from the devil. You cannot say, I don't want to be ruled by the Holy Ghost, I don't want to be ruled by the devil, I just want to be neutral. There's no neutral. Don't allow the devil box you to your senses. You know, I like what Smith Wigglesworth would say. He said, if Satan catches you in the arena of your senses, he will defeat you. So people, that's why atheism is demonic. I like saying it. So I said, no, I'm just a free thinker. There's not like being a free thinker. It's either you are inspired by the Holy Ghost or you are inspired by demonic forces. Leave free thinking, whatever. Say, God, I just use my brain again. Use your brain. There is no sitting on the fence. Are you hearing me? Take note again. Nothing happens naturally in the X-ray. That is initiated by man, no natural. I put that cross for now. Hallelujah. Nothing happens in the lecture that is initiated by man that is natural. Nothing. There are count religions, organic count religions. You see, and when it affects the gospel, in fact, when it has to do with the gospel, or comes, when it affects the gospel, you must not see it as natural. Are you following me? It's not natural. Don't allow too much science to deceive your brain. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Not natural. Don't say it's natural. I want to be a free thinker. For you, okay? What is it to be a free thinker? So, what Jesus has made you see is that, see, unbelief is inspired by Satan. Are you following me? Tell me that, maybe see. He said, see, when a man does not believe the gospel, he says it is Satan that steals the word immediately. Amen. Amen. So he was never seen. He's never seen. He's not seen. Hallelujah. He makes you see. This is it. Amen. Amen. Now imagine a believer. Now pray. Oh Lord, make my heart a good soil. Sure, alright. He believed already. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, take away my heart. Lord, don't make my heart be like that on the wayside. Or the one in the town. No,
calm down, we'll get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or the one that fell on the stone.
No.
Glory to God. So remember the one that fell by the wayside. What did he say came and snatches it away? He said the birds of the air. Hallelujah. Now imagine I now turn it and I say, let's pray against the good birds that want to steal the word of God in our lives. There are some evil birds that steal away your blessings. So we want to pray. Oh Lord, imagine. That is how I'm interpreting what Jesus has taught. Do you see? I'm giving my own interpretation. Hallelujah! But Jesus is saying that unbelief towards the gospel is what? You must see Satan's hand in it. Hallelujah! Satan's hand in it. So when a man believes, you know, we've seen that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when a man believes, what does he say? He says it's a demonstration of the Holy Ghost's power. Right? So it's the Holy Ghost that convinces the heart of a man to believe. Hallelujah. But when a man rejects the conviction of the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, don't see it natural. See, it is the work of the devil. Amen. Amen. Do you see how you see it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at the second ground. Verses 6. He says, some fell by the stony places when they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up, and because they had no depth of the earth. Did you see that? But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. Let us begin to pray now that we will begin to produce roots. That is me reading it at least. Now look at how Jesus now explains it. Hallelujah. Look at what he's pointing to. Look at verses 20. It says, but he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Listen. Yet he had no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Look at how Mark puts it. He says he gets offended. Mark. I love how Mark puts that. Mark 4. Verse 16. It says, likewise, are the ones on the stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receives it with gladness. 17. And they have no root in themselves, and so endures only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. They stumble. Translation will say they get offended. Hallelujah. They get offended. I want you to see that spirit come. The one that fell by the stony ground. It's the, how, what is their response first? Their response first is that when the word is sown, they receive it with joy. That is the word kara. C-H-A-R-A. Kara means like joyfully, gladness. The word of God is there and then, woo! Chop me warm! The rema. Hallelujah! It doesn't even like that. Jesus said they have no root in themselves, meaning they are not even saved. He said they have no root in themselves. It shows that they were not saved at all. But when the word is taught, and you say, oh, thank you, Pastor. Bless me more. Oh, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, chuck me what? With joy, with God. You know, you're hearing the word, everyone is quiet. Maybe I'm teaching and say, chuck me. That is not the real joy. Remember we had that teaching, right? That is not the real joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's not the real joy. He says it has no root in himself. Hallelujah. So how do we say when persecution comes, they become offended? When they are tried, they just wait, because they have no, they were never saved. These ones were never saved. You have some of these people in your audiences. Hallelujah, not here. Hallelujah. But Jesus said these are the audiences you would have. People you will find as audience. Hallelujah. One, you're unsaved. The second one, two, is unsaved, but acts like he's saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For he's never saved. Or he's not yet saved. He said, take note of the word, he had no root in himself. So when the Son comes, the Son will not be what? Persecution, trial. He can't stand. Hallelujah. The next thing, you find him back to the world. You find him, he gets offended. He's in, that's how they will do it. He now begins to fight those that have blessed him with the word before. He was never blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that you see some people. See them in church, and all of a sudden they are saying things wrong about the church. Saying bad things. You want to say, is this what we say? Some of them, Jesus said, I'm not saved. So they had no root in themselves. They were only, I don't want to use that word, but let me use it. They were only keeping up with the Joneses. Hallelujah. They just keeping up with the Joneses.
That's a hammer.
I like your pastor. Your pastor knows how to hear the scripture. You know, the way he explains the scripture is a great thing. Give them a little time. Give them 1 year. Give them 2 years. We'll give them talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't see people like this, I've seen plenty. Glory to God. I've seen plenty, 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 plenty. Let's rush through. Let's rush through. The thought said of people. Verse 7. He says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and took them. And took them. Verse 22. Now those who receive the seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitful riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Mark that word, unfruitful, because we'll pick it up from here next week. Hallelujah. He didn't say this one has no roots in himself. He has roots. Hallelujah. But he's choked. He's choked. Hallelujah. He's choked. What chokes the world? The cares of this world. The deceitful nature of the world. This one that hears the word. And he hears the word, he's a believer. But you know, he just wants to. You know, there's some people like that. Eh? Have you heard some people say, all this doctrine, I cannot come and go and kill myself. Something like that. Thomas. Hallelujah. The seed that men thought. They have the cares of this world. The cares of this heart, of this world. Deceitful. Hallelujah. The cares of this world. Hallelujah. You want to satisfy yourself, satisfy man. And yet, you want to do the work of ministry. You can't do that. Hallelujah. You can't do that. It says, because of it, he becomes unfruitful. Now, this is the one that John, in John 15, identifies, right? The branch that produces not fruit. Are you following me? The branch is a branch, but does not produce fruit. It's unfruitful. Why does it produce fruit? The cares of this world. Hallelujah. We'll look at it as a round up next week. Hallelujah. The cares of this world. Unfruitful. We can have unfruitful believers. Unfruitful. Unfruitful. That means they are not allowing the seed to have free course through them. They are not allowing the seed. Are you following me? They are not allowing the seed to have free course through them. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 So, we can have believers who are unfruitful, who do not allow the seed of Christ, or the seed which is Christ, which is the word, have free course to them. Remember, the seed will produce a seed. In
Genesis 1, verse 14, the seed will produce itself. That is how God reaches the world.
Hallelujah. We will not have that girl, that one, that brother, that sister, who is always around for meetings, but yet is unfruitful. Yet, he still wants to please himself, wants to please the world, wants to please things. Still works, we can call that brother, that sister, the brother or sister that is fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That is unfruitful. Hallelujah. But in as much as we have this, we still have those who the seed that fell by on the good soil. Hallelujah. Look at what Jesus says about that seed. We're going to look at this too next week. Hallelujah. In details as we round up. Look at what he says about that seed. He says, but he who received the word, verse 23, on the good ground, is he who hears the word and understands it. Take note of that. He hears the word, he understands it. He hears the word. The one in verse 22 doesn't understand. Hallelujah. He allowed the cares of this world to choke the world. He allowed the troubles of the world to choke the world. He allowed the things that be in the world. He allowed the things that his eye sees, his eyes, his ear hears, his nose smells, his body feels to choke the world. I'm not that kind of believer. You can say that to concern yourself. I'm not that kind of believer. Say that to yourself, I'm not that kind of believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing chokes the word of God in me. I don't allow anything to choke the word of God in me. The word of God have free course through me. Hallelujah. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. This is the word. Hallelujah. That fell on the good soil. He said he hears the word. He understands it. And does what? It's fruitful and it produces. Hallelujah. What does it produce? The seed produces itself. Hallelujah. So, what happens? The seed which we receive, which is the word, which is Christ. Hallelujah. In the new birth, it will produce itself through us. Hallelujah. Through us. Hallelujah. And what does it say? It says some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We're going to look at this next week. What is 100-fold? What is 60? What is 30? Hallelujah. Some people think you make 60% or 100% per month like Santos. No. No one thinks it's 60%. ROI, 20%. No, you guys know what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Don't know about ROI here. Amen. We're talking about ROI. You don't know what it means. It means return on investment. Hallelujah. No, that's what it means there. Hallelujah. He's talking about the seed producing itself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see? What we're discussing is not different from what we've been discussing since the year began. The seed produces itself through us. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you shall see his seed, and his days are prolonged to the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The days of Jesus in the earth is prolonged through me. Prolonged through me. Hallelujah. That means I have to produce things. I have to produce things. I will look at this next week. Hallelujah. But say after me, I'm a fruitful branch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a good soil. I'm a good soul. I bear fruit. Hallelujah. So we'll also look at, is there hope for the soil, for the one that falls by and it is choked by the thorns? So we're going to look at that. Is there hope? Hallelujah. There is hope. Hallelujah. I say to say to you, there's hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll receive much more this year. That branches, when I mean branches, I need to understand that. That those feeble hands will be made strong. That's what I mean. You believe God this year. That feeble hands will be made strong. You know that will enter into the city of our CRC.
feeble hands will be made strong.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Those who have not been fruitful in ministry will become much more fruitful.
Amen.
We'll receive a hundredfold harvest.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll receive a hundredfold harvest.
Amen.
It's a year of supernatural harvest.
Yes.
And I'm doing my part. I'm producing fruits.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's be on our feet. Let's thank God. Just thank you.